Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. We are so glad you're with us. When I say us, it's Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich.
Hey.
Hi,
great
guys.
Great to be with the two of you again. I love working with you guys.
Same here.
Yep.
And you and I are going to be working together over there in Washington, D.C. on July 23rd. Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. We love it when people come that are having a little bit of trouble. But I'll tell you, this place, we have watched people go through a miracle transformation from hating each other, tearing up the divorce papers, all sorts of stuff. So it's never too late. You really ought to give it a try before you give up. In fact, that's going to be my new motto.
Well,
give it a
yeah,
try.
Yeah, and you guys do a great job. You
yeah,
guys have a
you.
Lot to share with people that is transformative.
My favorite part of that whole weekend is looking, looking at the people on Friday afternoon versus Sunday
the
morning.
Body language between the couples.
Everything changes. And, you know, they're so uptight and rigid and worried and some angst and there's silence. And then by, you know, Sunday morning, it's a completely different story. And to your point, Steve, some of the testimonies on Sunday morning, they bring tears to your eyes because you realize they just haven't heard of what will create a change and what might be.
Well, and they come in with no hope because usually they've tried everything they know how to try, right?
Right.
So, but then to see the hope on Sunday is great.
It's very fun.
I think a lot of people walk away with so much new understanding that they say to themselves, no wonder.
Right.
Two people that fell in love had so much trouble after that. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got a lot of people lined up. They want to talk to us. I'm going to go to Sarah. She's calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming. And so let's talk with Sarah here. I can't seem to hear. Maybe I can bring her up on my little thing. Here we go. Sarah, how are you? Welcome to New Life Live.
Hi. Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's going on?
Okay. Great. I want to start by, you know, thanks for taking my call. My husband and I listen to you guys all the time on the radio while we're traveling and whatnot. And we've had a lot of good realizations and conversations with just the topics you guys bring up.
Well, thank you for that. Glad
anyways,
you listen.
I'm going to try my best. I'm going to try my best to control my emotions through this. And I prayed about it, too, before calling, so just bear with me.
Okay.
If I can't get through what I need. All right.
So, you'll be fine.
I'm only 34, and over the last couple of years, I've been on a medical journey that has left me physically disabled with neurological issues, and I've gotten through those, and I've accepted those, and actually, I wanted to write a book about how those are a blessing to me, but the big part I'm dealing with now is my mental, emotional issues that come out of it. And it's not only me, it's my family. I guess, but it's hard, it's fun. And I just want some help in dealing with that because I've tried so many different medications and I have one that I feel like worked for me.
Yeah.
But it more numbed me than anything. And I really, after consulting God about it, I really feel like He doesn't want that for me. But
okay. What medication is that you're talking about? What is the medication you're speaking of?
Zoloft, certainly.
Okay. All right. We can help you. I'm so glad you called. And So sorry for what you're going through. Hold on. This is New Life Live, and if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to our website, newlife.com. Glad you're with us today, and hope something we say will make a difference.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Sarah. And so, Sarah, what are people that you're living with saying to you? Are they expressing frustration? Are they still expressing deep compassion? What's going on there at home?
You know, it's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. And again, it's all from my perspective because I feel like my emotions are out of control in some of our conversations, you know, that we have about it as well, because I feel things super deeply. I mean, watching a Disney movie, you know, can make me cry out of just happiness,
yeah,
or sadness, or, you know, I can't control it. But then at the same time, I'm also dealing with anger issues, being quick to anger, mm-hmm, which I know God doesn't want for me, you know, that results in this hateful rage that pretty much feels demonic, to be honest with you. And I have prayed so much about being able to control this. And, you know, I have personal time with God every morning, and I talk to Him about it. But it's hard for me knowing that I had a medication that, I'm not going to say took care of it, because it also numbed my happiness, right? I didn't feel that like I do when I don't have medication, yeah, treating it. So,
well, you know,
I'm kind of at a point where...
You're at a point where? Where?
Where I'm just like, do I treat myself with medication for my family's sake? Even though I personally don't feel it's what God wants for me, I know that He doesn't want my family struggling, yeah, with this too.
Okay. Well, the reality is, you know, if a medication helps in the darkness, sometimes it does shave off some of the light and the good feelings there. But as we were speaking about Zoloft at the break, some people would say, well, this is numbing me, but it could be more accurately described as it's giving me some manageability. No, I don't have the full spectrum of feelings right now, but until I can work through some things, until I can come to accept other things, it's really taking some of the negative, like you say, the anger, bitterness, stuff that rage, it takes it out of the picture so that you can develop some insight, discover some new options, and the people around you can know what they're dealing with, so that one time it's not, I'm all happy and joyful, and the next minute, or the next time you see me, I am full of anger and bitterness. Jill, from your perspective, what do you say?
Well, along those lines, Sarah, Zoloft is a med that will help to contain some of the extreme ends, right? So it'll bring you back into a normal realm of emotions. It doesn't take emotions away, but as you're describing yourself as feeling things very intensely, having an intense happiness feelings can feel great, but that intense rage that you're talking about, not so great for you, mm-hmm, not so great for your family. So it's hard. I mean, you're saying you think you might be borderline. Borderlines can feel things very intensely. They can have huge emotional swings, and they tend to create a lot of turmoil in their personal relationships. So while I understand, you know, the way you were made feels best to you, does it get you the things you want in life? And your family does matter. How they feel in your presence, mm-hmm, does matter. We don't live in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed, as best as we can, we're supposed to be at peace with one another. And sometimes that means we need to have some boundaries around our emotions. Because those extreme intensities, we may think we're at our best, but we're really not.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to just mention, and I want to hear from Mylon too, but when you say it feels like a demon kind of thing, when we're out of control, it can feel like that. But when we look at your situation, it's kind of predictable, that you would really struggle like this, and there would be these feelings that just come out of nowhere from a trigger you didn't even expect. And so it's important that we don't attribute something to a demon that could be treated. I do believe there's tremendous evil in this world, and Satan is real and has helpers out here. But I don't want you to avoid the treatment that could help you get to where you need to be in a year or year and a half. Mylon, you have some thoughts here that could help?
Sarah, yours is a common story. I don't want you to think you're a one-off, that you're isolated, that you're somehow rare. I would have a couple of comments here that I think might be helpful. One would be the simple question, and all I want is a yes-no answer. Did you have a difficult childhood?
That's not really a yes or no answer. By some standards, yes.
Okay.
I could say I had a difficult childhood.
So what I want you to consider doing is if you go online, there is something called the Adverse Childhood Experience Score. It was developed by Kaiser Permanente and the CDC. And it was used primarily to look at medical outcomes of adverse childhood experiences. There's 10 questions. And the higher your score, the harder your life and the harder your adulthood. But it was also then moved over into the emotional behavioral realm, in which we can understand why we are so reactive. And when you use the word, as Jill and Steve have already commented, when you talk about numbing me out, what it's doing is, if you're used to extremes, then everything else inside those extremes feels marginalized. So there's a part of you that's idealistic. You want everything to be just right, but we don't live in a just right world. So I really want to encourage you to allow the Zoloft to be something that might help taper those extremes. And to perhaps, and I don't know who's prescribing that for you, we don't have time to investigate that, but a psychiatrist that specializes in anxiety and mood disorders would be someone that might be able to help you find something that helps you balance out and avoid the extremes. Newton talked about this. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if you're highly intense, you could be highly rageful. And Sarah, I grew up with this. This was my home. I'm the child. I'm your child, grown up, and I've been recovering from the volatility my whole life. So I tell you that to say, treat your family's security seriously. Treat that seriously. Make that very high priority for you. What's it like to be my child?
And then grieve.
Yeah, that perspective is what worries me most, and what I 100% understand. But I guess where my question is more conditioned is along the lines of, I've only thought like medical, advice of, people who haven't really taken the time to understand what's going on with me. It's just like going like, hey, I feel like, my emotions are a little intense. And it's like, okay, boom, here, try this antidepressant that also treats OCD. Mm. And I know that there are other treatment options for this stuff, whether they're successful or not. But my family is 100% on board with
Good.
Me. And they know, like, and I've even asked them, like, look, I am so emotionally sensitive right now. Please
Sarah,
just bear with me. But I'm just wondering if there's something we can do.
Yes, I would
as
go.
I
would know you. And perhaps you and your husband, but you need to be with a trauma therapist that can help you with that adverse history as a child, that can help you heal from that.
Mm-hmm.
And to find the ways to release the pain from that history. When you go into a hateful rage, everybody in the present is catching your entire history in the present. And they're catching all the pain from the past. If we can grieve that history and be angry at that history, it starts to fade and it doesn't have the power. And I'm going to tell you one last thing, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. Sarah, it's not your fault. You didn't cause this.
Yeah.
You said, I had a hard childhood. That's what's causing all of this. And when we come to Christ, God doesn't erase our history. He gives us a new life, but he doesn't erase that history.
Yeah.
So it's not your fault.
Yeah.
But it's your adult responsibility to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And
okay,
to grieve.
Okay, so here, you might be thinking there's a spiritual type of solution when what I think it what we've been saying is there's a specialist type of solution, not just a general physician, but you go to a psychiatrist that really knows medication well. You go to a counselor that has dealt with things of this nature before. And I think your life's going to change. You're going to have hope where you thought it was just nothing was making sense. And that's what
you learn how your history is being played out in the present.
Yeah.
It's really important to be able to make those distinctions.
Mm-hmm. All right. I hope that that's helpful to you. Right now, I want to go to Bob. Bob is calling from Milwaukee. Let's see how Bob is. Bob, how are you today?
Well, I'm vertical and on the green side of the grass.
Okay, that's good. That's not everybody can say that, right? So, excellent. How could we help today?
I was listening to your conversation with the previous caller, and you guys had said some things there that just really kind of hit home for me. I did have a very difficult childhood, and I was very afraid of my father for years. And what it did was it led me down a path of trying to protect myself with lying, and it continued throughout my adult life to this day. And I was baptized back in 1998 at a Four Square church in Shelby, Montana, and it was a very, very quick thing. You know, I was talking to one of the pastors who I worked with in the local hospital, who was a doctor, and you know, I broke down, and I accepted God into my life and Jesus, and recognized him as my Savior. And then the next day I was being baptized, and then the following weekend we were moving back to Arizona. It was a temporary assignment for me. I worked for... Okay.
Well, let's get to a question here, buddy. Let's get to a question that we might be able to help you with.
Okay. The biggest issue I've got is the lying to this day. And I'm confessing this to you and your listeners. I just need some help with this.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got music playing. We will help you with this, and there is a practical, painful way to address repetitive lying, so compulsive lying. Tell you about that right after this. I'm glad that you called. I hear the struggle. Many folks struggling, And we have folks that have been dealing with strugglers for years and years. And we can give you some hope and help. If you call us, let us help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It might be a book, could be a video. Maybe it's a counselor in your area or one of our intensives that we've worked so hard to make them the most incredible experience ever when you need some help. But you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break. Come right back with more of New Life Live. You can watch us on YouTube if you want to.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and really, really glad that all of you have joined us, especially Bob here. And Bob, I'm going to give you a practical way that really does help people to stop lying. It's painful. And then we'll let Jill and Mylon talk to you about some deeper sources. But in my experience, the thing that can really help is when you immediately catch yourself in a lie and you immediately admit it. You say, wait a second, I just said something. I'd like to restate that. It wasn't exactly true. And then you tell them the painful truth. You do that enough, and all of a sudden, your brain decides, I don't want to do that, so we're just going to jump out here with the truth. And it really does change everything for you, and you start to feel really good. But when you really, lying is managing consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, you take matters into your own hands, think you can manage the consequences, and eventually, of course, you can't always do that. But admitting it on the spot is one way. It's kind of like self-confrontation and instant confession combined. It can change that behavior. It has helped others. Mylon, were you thinking about the lying, compulsive lying needing to change?
Well, Bob, what served you well as a child does not serve you well as an adult. In other words, you faced the reality of your home was your dad was frightening to you, and so you did everything you could to stay under the radar. But as an adult, you have to be able to face the reality of the adult world, which is realizing that you still feel little inside when you're confronted with something that frightens you. And so Jill and I will focus on what we need to do in terms of therapy and work with dealing with the past. Because when we can deal with the past, we have explanations for the present. But I really want you to understand, you made a very good statement earlier when you said it protected me as a child, but mm-hmm. and I've developed this habit and I continue it, which means you still see people fearfully, or the realities of this world fearfully.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, how many people remind you of your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, in 2012, my father had retired from Boeing in Arizona. I was in an accident and ended up in the hospital with skull fracture and brain bleed, and started developing seizures.
Hmm.
I also have Parkinsonian syndrome, which basically I have no dopamine uptake anymore. But it gave me an opportunity to sit down with my dad and say, hey, you know, I've had a lot of time to think about things, and these were the things that you did that really hurt me growing up.
Wow.
And
what was his response to that?
Down. He cried.
Oh.
And wow. You know, as a teenager, you know, I took my parents for granted. I didn't listen to what they were saying. I rebelled against them. And I was so focused on myself that I couldn't see how hard my dad was working to take care of his family.
Mm.
And, you know, I told him, Dad, I am so sorry for my behavior as a kid. And my father and I are so close now.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, he took care of me for a month, and my dad is my best friend.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
So,
wow, that is incredible. That is what people dream about, Bob.
Yeah, it really is.
In terms of being able to have a parent really receive the feelings that you felt,
right,
and to make changes. That's wonderful. But you're calling us today because you still have this leftover habit of lying, is what you're telling us, correct?
Right.
So
right,
while you've healed things in your dad, I think the fear that you once felt has now kind of generalized out to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like somewhere inside of you there's this fear of how other people will respond to you. And so, as Steve was saying, you try to control the outcome.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
To keep yourself safe. When, like, you don't really know how people will respond to the real you. Right?
Yeah.
And sure, so sometimes we need to just be who we are, kind of that saying, let the chips fall where they may. Right? And most of the time we're pleasantly surprised. People actually probably like our true selves much better than the one we try to erect, kind of that false self that we erect and try to control.
Right. Well, one of the things that I've discovered, I think most people do, that no one thing solves everything.
Mm-mm.
And this reconciliation with your dad, it solved a lot of things. But it doesn't fix everything, doesn't solve everything. And so, you know, you've got some more work to do here. And I think, you know, maybe even when you say your dad's your best friend, there it may produce some grief over, oh, why wasn't it this way all along? Who knows? But I really suggest,
right,
I think if you continue to do some inventory and work with a counselor and help you see what's still there, I think you've got potential to have one of the greatest lives ever, in that you were given a great gift by Dad when you guys were able to experience that reconciliation. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I'm going to send the Healing is a Choice and Take Your Life Back both to Bob. I hope those will be helpful to him. Larry Sonnenberg's always been helpful to me. He is an open book also. So, hello, Larry.
Hello,
and what
Steve.
Do you have for us today?
Well, while tomorrow is every man's battle starts, or actually it's today. It's Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next workshop we have coming is Intimacy in Marriage here in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I just want to share a testimony from that and invite people to support New Life. Make an investment. It makes a difference. People's lives are not the same. Families' lives, and the influence of these workshops is amazing. This was a gentleman that wrote after attending the workshop, "I'd been drifting toward isolation from my wife, but at this workshop we have reestablished the bond that will enable us to truly be a team. The workshop has been a watershed moment in the health of our marriage and family. I'm leaving with a renewed love for my wife and a desire to provide and defend a safe haven for her to flourish. I would tell anyone considering this workshop to come expecting to be changed and to remember why you fell in love with your spouse.
Hmm.
So if you believe in marriages and you want a good one, you want somebody else to have a good one, whatever the case, come to the workshop, invest in it, help us. It makes a difference. God is blessing New Life in big ways right now. And the Holy Spirit is the one doing it, and God gets the credit.
And we'll send them the brand new 100 Days to Freedom from Fear and Anxiety. That's our way of saying thank you.
Yes.
Anything else you want to share, Larry?
I just want to say thank you to everybody who has been giving throughout the year. And I hope that it will continue. It's just making a difference. We love what we do here. We want to keep it going. We want to make it bigger and better. And it takes you to help us. So thank you.
All right. 1-800 New Life. That is the that's the number to call. We'd love to get some support from you. We'd love to help you with a resource.
It's, you know, Larry, right there. Larry, and Steve, I like Larry's emphasis on investing, because investment implies future. Mm-hmm. And if you want, if our listeners want this ministry to continue into the future, to continue on the airwaves, to continue on TV, radio, those all cost money, and they are listening to us because of the investment people have made yesterday. And that's how today's show is going on the air. So I just want to say that.
And I want to say thanks to Steve. He taught me a long time ago to be faithful, continue the dance, you know, figure out how to keep it going one day to the next. And we did that for years, and God has now really shown his gratitude and trust and faith in New Life. And it's really been a blessing.
Larry, do you dance, Larry?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I'll get him on this table. Come on.
I have no idea what you're talking about with this dance.
Oh, yeah, you who showed us the moves.
All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, please do. Let's go to Jay calling us there. He's on line 6, I believe it is. Jay, are you there?
Are you talking to JJ?
JJ, yes, I am talking to you,
yes,
JJ.
Yes,
welcome.
Yes.
How can we help you today?
Here. Well, I'm going to shock some that would know me if they did recognize my voice. I'm going to start with what the question is. Something like a topic sentence or something that I've never felt comfortable with.
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
A deluge of words.
Okay.
Okay. I would like to know two things from you, and I am hopefully expectant by faith that I'm going to get good biblical counsel. I'd like to have some clarity on strengthening my voice, speaking with my husband and family about some boundary issues, and secondarily, I would like to know a little coaching, role modeling, as Mylon is good at offering, in going to those that may be offended, and how to handle that when, in the case where I am not sure that I have true fault, but if someone's feelings are hurt or if they have been offended due to something they heard from someone else, possibly from someone else, I'm sort of caught in the weeds there. So, would you like a background?
Okay, well, Mylon, what are you thinking here?
I have no idea what you're asking us, JJ.
Okay, I would like to know, now that I'm home from a 3-week involuntary confinement due to a diagnosis of bipolar, and returning home with a boundary list of a baker's dozen number of things, some of them are a little gaslighting on the boundaries list. And I need to find my voice, and was given an assignment before I left that I had to ask, well, that's a little difficult, ask my family, my husband, and asking is challenging to speak up when it's about asking for me. And yeah, the other two callers made sense on where those things come from. I've spent a number of years working on things, including a three-week stint at the Meyer Clinic after ultimate leadership with John and Henry showed I had more damage to work on. I have worked very diligently for about 15 to 20 years.
Good for you, JJ.
Yeah.
Which means, thanks for cheering, It means that I can have this conversation today and not fall apart and not cry and feel like a train is barreling down on me.
Okay. So, Mylon, you want to pick it up from there?
Well, that train metaphorically barreling down on you is something you've felt for a long time, JJ.
Yes.
And
or a fire-breathing dragon.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, there is something, as you've already said, that's a part of your history that started that chase. And you feel like you're going to be overrun, and it's very, very difficult. But I think the assignment you were given, which was to ask your family members a brave question, what's it like to be around me? Am I clear on that?
Okay, that's a good one. I could ask that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how do I make you feel? As another friend of mine said,
I don't like the word make. Could we find a different word than make that allows them to have responsibility for their feelings?
Well,
what is it about me that causes triggers or could you help me with a different word?
Yeah. What's it like to be on the other side of me?
I like that sentence. I've heard you say that one before. Yeah. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, what's it like to be on the other side of me? I'm working on that. I need to know because there's this wonderful thing.
That would be disarming.
Well, it is. You're absolutely right. And I love your insights here.
For them.
It is.
For me, it's disarming for them because this whole family is so polarized for two decades. People aren't talking about problems unless it's behind the back of the scapegoat. And guess who the fallen golden child is? Now the scapegoat.
So, okay.
So, let me ask you a quick question,
though.
That's
where I would start. And I would just write down the answers. And I would say, thank you very much. I'm working on me. And this is for my edification.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And it's only for me. So thank you for your feedback.
Quick question before we go. Let me ask you this. When you were admitted involuntarily, how long did you stay?
3 weeks required.
Required to stay 3 weeks?
Yes.
Most
that or go to the mental hospital with an injection. So I cooperated.
Okay, and who
that
said
must have
it
been
was,
hard.
Yeah, who said that was a 3 week requirement? Who made that requirement?
Who made that requirement?
Uh-huh.
The admitting people that took me in the red and white so I could be transported to from a rural community to a bigger community where they have the facilities to take care of somebody who might
be something
manic,
happened.
Who they were clearly concerned where it was, without a doubt, manic.
Okay. And
but nobody has bothered to look at the other side of the coin like the context, so there
just
I stand.
When you talk about your side of the coin, did you think that they helped you, or did they?
Oh, absolutely. It took me about 2 or 3 hours to start giving thanks for being there, but yes, I got as much out of that situation as a three-week something else, because I got immediate feedback from people who have no filters, and then those that are trained to work with them.
Okay.
So well, I got to work in the now.
And what is it that you're doing now just to keep up the progress there?
Working on self-care, working on speaking the truth in love, working on cultivating courage in the moment and before situations that might be potentially triggering, praying for courage and to remember, that was then, this is now. What do I need to do to keep myself in the now and be reminded, Carrie? That's my other name family calls me, to be reminded of what is real and what God says is real and where am I going to plant my feet and where are my roots going to grow down into. I want them to be rooted and grounded in love.
Sure.
And so I know what it's like to have words hurt, and so I learned that when I was pre-verbal. And so,
okay,
those
well, hold on.
Go back
we'll be back
a long way.
Right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And just want to finish up here. I don't want to leave JJ before we finish up. And Jill, you had a comment?
Yeah, I just had a quick comment. JJ, I just wanted to say that everything that you just shared in response to Steve's question was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you have really, like you got a lot out of your program. And I would just encourage you to keep going in that direction. I think you're really headed in the right direction that way. I like the idea of also incorporating, Mylan, your questions. I think that's really important. And it seemed like when you were in treatment, you liked the honest feedback. And that's what you would be asking your family for, is honest feedback, so that you can see how you are within the context of your family. I think that's helpful.
And Jill, to that point, you know, JJ was talking about, she was talking to people in her treatment that had filters. They had control over what they said, and they weren't triggered, etc. And but the real world doesn't always have filters, and family members don't always have filters. And that's why we need to be able to. I love what JJ said. We have to be able to differentiate between that was then and this is now. Mm-hmm. Now, as a child, others' voices have so much power.
Right.
They dominate us. In the present, they don't have to have that same amount of power because we're an adult and we can take what we want and reject what we want. So I love the direction that JJ's headed in. And I would also say that you really need to be in a group where you can, and again, reflection and allowing others to reflect and hold up a mirror to you and to be able to say, this is what I feel like, and then not be affected by their responses, to be able to tolerate all of that. But I think you're on a good path. I appreciate your call. And I think I appreciate many of the good things you've said.
Well, what I love about what you guys just did is it seems like that she responds well to encouragement, and you encouraged her. And I'll tell you, we can encourage people to do the right thing, stay connected, get the help that you need. And sometimes it is encouragement that is the very best thing to provide someone. All right, let's go to Laura. She'll be our final caller. She listens on SiriusXM. Laura, welcome to New Life. What's going on with you? How could we help?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call. I want to know how to deal with losing my mother, not physically, but emotionally.
Okay.
A few days before June 18th, my nephew, we did not know, was terminally ill. And we didn't know it for a few weeks because he is that way. He's very private. I told her that I was going to call my brother, his father, and tell him that he was ill. And my mother screamed at me and said, "If you do, don't ever call me back again."
Oh, wow.
My mother has always, always said things to her children, about her children, to get them to have dissension between each other. And I know that. I'm the oldest of eight, and I know what she's done. And I'm done. I'm done. But I miss her. I'm in my 60s. And I don't know what to do. I'm not eating. I'm not sleeping.
Oh,
okay.
I'm just so heartbroken.
Well, let me say something, and then Jill, let's go to you about what she could do. But you know, in these situations, it'd be so much easier if your mother was just out and out cruel or gone or abandoning. But when they're in your life, and you see this constant need for conflict and pitting one against the other, it just makes it really difficult and complicated. What, Jill, what do you think?
Oh, my gosh, Laura. And I think it was heightened with the illness of your nephew, right? So you really saw vividly what your mom does. Like, you could no longer deny it. And so I think, Laura, right now you're entering a phase of life where maybe you're taking some of the blinders off. And you're letting yourself know more the reality that you've really known has been there all along, right? And that you've limped along. So you're having to see your mom for who she is, and then that changes her. So that's where you're saying, I've lost her emotionally. Yeah, it's going to be different. Yeah. You haven't lost her 100%, but you've lost some of the fantasy of the relationship or the idealizing of the relationship or the not looking at the reality. You will come out the other side, and it will be better because you will be living more in the truth. But yes, the relationship is going to change, and I encourage you to have friends, close friends, other people around you that can fill in some of that void that maybe your mom has felt over the years, but that you can be more truthful with during this season.
Mylon, do you have a comment here before we go?
Laura, just a quick comment that your mother's extreme behaviors and her extreme reactivity and her extreme threats, people like that often create a toxic bond with the people around them.
Oh, good point, yeah.
And you are tied into a toxic bond with her. And so you miss her, and you feel like you're all alone now. But for 60 years, you've been wrapped up in that toxic bond, and your mom is not a healthy person. And so it explains why you feel so lost right now. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to do? I don't know how to exist outside this gravitational field, and it doesn't feel right. So I'll simply close with this. The Bible says we're supposed to leave our parents and cleave to someone else. Now, if we haven't been married or we're not married, we need to leave as adults. Jesus did this. He created separation from his family, and he chose to be himself and not pulled in by their toxicity of disbelief. His mother believed, but his brothers did not. And so the Bible says we need to leave those people that raised us and find a healthy path on our own. So it's really hard for you right now, and I appreciate your call, and I really encourage you that this is a part of
that.
The path you need to be on is to continue leaving and releasing the emotions. You can't eat and sleep. Get some help with a therapist that can help you process this.
Well, and especially a Christian psychiatrist can help you with all of that to get yourself stabilized so that you're not always in tears over it, and then you make the rational decisions and develop a pattern and a path. Really glad you called, and I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love and Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Mylon wrote one, and Jill wrote the other, and I think both of them are going to be really helpful to you. We're just about out of time. I want to tell you that, you know, Every Man's Battle started today in Dallas. Please pray for all those guys there. Intimacy and Marriage, that's July 23rd. Mylon K., myself, will be there. Please come join us for that. It could change everything. Emotional Freedom is online August the 14th. And the Repurposed Life Recovery Conference. I think you're going to like that. It's what we're all about anyway. We set out one way, mess up, and then we get repurposed. And that's where the meaning and the wonder can come. If you need some help, call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number. Thanks, Mylon. Thanks, Jill. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609.
Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.